Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the Scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the Scripture. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us tonight for RAM Radio Live, the webcast, which is The Biblical Alternative, March 19, 2007, Monday night webcast. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Welcome to RAM Radio Live. I'm Pastor John. I'll be your radio host right here, broadcasting live from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, all over the world, through that wonderful web network, Truth Radio. And I'm so glad that you can join me. Hope that the signal is coming in loud and clear. You know why I do what I do? Because, well, it's a simple little paragraph. You're a professing Christian, and a true believer must always classify yourselves as those who are justified in righteousness by your position that you have in and with Jesus Christ. Now, this divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word speaks to these absolutes. Into the Word, as a true Christian ministry, must first look to what? God's Word, as the highest standard that directs our lives. I cannot attempt to minister to others unless I define who I am by what I believe, as I stay in the Word, not as I compromise and give in to the schemes of the devil. Yes, so what are we going to talk about tonight? I thought that I would talk about the reality of a real and personal devil. And I think that this would be, as we exchange vital testimonies, so to say, let's talk about a real devil. We don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about hell, the devil, fire, and brimstone enough in our Christianity, and I think it's important for us to talk about this. When Christians aggressively pursue a life of sanctification, those same Christians will very quickly discover that the devil's temptations and spiritual oppositions are extraordinary and not imaginary as they come under the attack of the enemy. Satan resists our spiritual progress just as air or water resist physical progress. And the more that we as Christians pursue a life, listen to me, of sanctification, and the more that we oppose Satan and his onslaughts on our lives, well, the more spiritual resistance and the attacks that we can and should or ought to accept from him. Doesn't that make sense to you? In other words, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer Satan is going to try to get to you to whack you. That's just a given. All right, if you're living a life of holiness, you will be attacked. So what is it that we need? And I think that that's a good way to start off this question tonight as we go to our Bibles and try to seek the answers from God's Word. What is it that we need? I'd say, first of all, that we need God's spiritual weapons to demolish the strongholds of Satan that has established, or has been established somewhat in our thought life, to prevent our minds from further influence by Satan. In other words, what we have to do is we have to set up some kind of a defense, and so that we would not be bombarded by the thoughts of the enemies. Now, if you want to find some scriptures on the thinking processes, of course, we're familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I would ask you to go there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at that first. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." In other words, since we're in a physical body here, since we're in a physical world, we don't fight like the world fights. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." This is really how powerful the Christian is. This is what Paul is saying. And then in verse 5 he says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Are we? Here's the question that are we really? Is the church doing that? I believe that if any true good pastor worth his salt would just preach from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, under the bold power of the Holy Spirit, that the church would be somewhat protected from the onslaughts of the wicked one. But the pastor is not going to preach that because, well, simply put, he doesn't want to wage war against him himself. Now, what are we going to do? I'm going to go to this, and I didn't think about this until just now, but I want to go to these verses, and I want to take a look at it in another commentary, because you know I didn't think that I would. Well, just let me do this. I want to handle a few words in these verses and give you a little bit clearer meaning when it says our warfare. In other words, the motive of the Christian life is warfare. It's very common that we as Christians are engaged in a battle, in a fight. We don't fight other Christians. We don't fight other non-Christian cults. No, that's not what our warfare is. We have been taught in the scriptures what to engage in. But our warfare is not carnal. It is not like that. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, let's kind of focus upon that a little bit. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Paul repeats here in the Ephesian text what he said in 2 Corinthians 10. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this present age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then, of course, he says in verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God." See, you're a soldier, and you want to have a defensive as well as an aggressive kind of a stance that you take as a believer. Taking my time with this tonight, I wanna try to get through to you and let you know that Satan is going to attack you. I think of the students at a meeting all around the country, and as a matter of fact, I received a phone call. I think I'll be doing a couple of lectures in Idaho in June. Got a call from my friend Dean Gocher, and he wants me to join him and the team in Idaho. So that should be an interesting trip around the first part of June. But as I look at going out and doing what I'm doing, one of the things that I'd like to show the people of God is that we ought to be engaged in this spiritual warfare against Satan to defeat him, casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. I mean, in other words, the arguments are the thoughts, the ideas, the speculations, the reasonings, the philosophies, the false religions, the ideological forts in which men barricade themselves against God and the gospel. We have to come against that. I know that I've been doing it for years, and I guess you can call me somewhat of a good old soldier, because I like the engagement. I like to be engaged in just warfare. You know, when it says that we take every thought into captivity, that emphasizes the total destruction of these fortresses of human as well as satanic wisdom, and the rescuing of those inside from the damning lies that have enslaved them. You see, what the pimps do to the people, I have to walk into these spiritual fortresses and release these people from this kind of captivity. That is what God has called me to do. That is what my job is all about. And I think it is the most important job that the man of God could have. So, I understand rightly and fully what he wants of me, what he demands of me. Do we have another set of scriptures where Paul really talks about this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8? Go there with me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. What we're trying to do is we're trying to discuss how do we come against this attack by Satan? How must we think? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayers and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, our thinking process, don't be concerned about stuff coming on you in this life, in this world. In everything, you go to God about it. And it says, in the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, finally, brother, now this is how we wage war against Satan. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I believe what Paul is saying is that, and even at times I know this is true to me, that my mind is dwelling on things that it ought not dwell upon. Now, some facts about Satan that you need to know. He's an evil spirit with stupendous might and cunning. First of all, I just tell you that you ain't no match for the devil. You're not going to lay hold on him, lay hands on him. You can't bind him, cast him, do any of that. That's a charismatic lie that somebody told you. You've heard people say that you're going to bound the power of the devil. Got to be crazy. No. Also, you need to understand that he works through demons on this earth. He has a myriad of demons that he works through. Go to the book of Job, and it's a very familiar text. Job chapter 1, verse 7. Job chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking about on it." His demons has just permeated the globe, all over the globe. He has spiritual forces in high places. We've already read that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He remains a finite creature and is no match for our infinitely wise and powerful God. In other words, though he is a strong angelic beast, God can take care of him. 1 John 4 and 4 gives us tremendous indication of that. 1 John 4 and 4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome these things, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Now, some people take that verse to mean, well, see, since he is great and he's in me, then I can bind Satan. No, if you're living a life of sanctification, you can reject him fully, and he will have no influence on you, but you can't bind him. Jude verse 9 is also another interesting verse as we look at this very interesting question. And you notice what I'm doing is I am using scriptures, because if we attempt to talk about this issue without going to the Word of God, it's a fruitless endeavor. The scripture is the Christian source. Now, I've been saying that, I think I said it a couple of times during this webcast already, that none of us can become a match for Satan, right? Well, in the very short first chapter, the only chapter of the book of Jude, in verse 9, the writer here points it out. He says, "But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing accusation, but he said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now, if Michael, who is an archangel, as we understand it in the Christian world, and an archangel is one of the most powerful angelic beasts that God ever created, simple logic as we look at this, since Michael could not rebuke him or pronounce anything against him in terms of judgment to withhold him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you," what makes you think that you, as a Christian, and I want those of you out of the charismatic background to listen to me, because you're always using these terms, and you're completely out of your mind. That's Jude, verse 9. See, once you go to the scripture and you read the scripture, then the scripture rules the day, correct? And then you repent of the belief system that you had, because the scriptures rule the day. Michael the archangel couldn't deal with him. What makes you think you can? Yeah, right. I've heard you boast about your power. You got enough, you know, some of these preachers talking about all this power they have. They don't have enough power to go home to their wife. They're fooling around with Deacon Jones's wife. But I'll leave that one alone. I don't want to get in trouble. You know what I'm talking about. See, don't believe it, you know, don't believe these guys that's going to stand up and make the most outrageous, impractical, metaphysical statements that anyone has ever made. That's why Christianity gets such a bum rap. Because these bums are out there giving it a bum rap. Something else about Satan, he is limited in knowledge and power in his presence and in his activity. Now, we're going to go to a few scriptures on that. Because, see, some people, I've even heard, oh my, some of these preachers, I don't know where they get their theology from. When they're preaching and ranting and raving about Satan, they say the most ridiculous things. You know, like, you better be careful what you say because Satan hears you, and since he hears you, he's going to come and do this and that. Where did they get that from? I don't know where they get that from. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. I said in this section that he is limited in knowledge and power, and in his presence and in activity. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Did you hear that? What do we learn? That you can get out of any trap that Satan attempts to put you in and to defeat you. There is no temptation. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Go there to the last book in the Bible with me. You guys enjoying this? I hope you are. You Bible teachers out there, you should be taking notes. As you take notes, I'd expect you to teach this Bible study to a group of students that's probably never heard this before. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer," the Lord says. "Behold, the devil is about to be, cast some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, the Lord says. He says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." This is not a contradiction scripture here. Look at what Jesus says right here. This is so wonderful. He says, "Don't fear what you are about to suffer." What is Jesus saying in Revelation 2:10 to the saints? He says, "You're getting ready to go through some mess." I've been saying it for years, and I believe that it's going to take place. God is going to send judgment on America, and Christians are not exempt from this judgment. And I would say to those Christians, don't fear what you're about to suffer. "Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you in prison." In other words, when they come to get the Christians in America, when they block Truth Radio from broadcasting any kind of truth like this, when our personal freedoms will be finally ripped off from us and they shut the internet down, only people that will be allowed to use the internet will be the mind control people to enslave. See, I know this sounds improbable, but it's not. And he says, "Going to cast some of you in prison that you may be tested." See, the whole thing is a test. And then he says, Jesus says, "And you will have tribulation 10 days. This is a particular time period. Then he says, "Be faithful until death." Now look at this, look at this, look at this. He's saying, Jesus is saying, be faithful even though they're going to kill you. Wow. That's beautiful, isn't it? And then he says, "And I'll give you a crown of life." In other words, you become the king after you die. Love to hear a preacher preach that on Sunday morning, huh? You're saying, "Pastor John, what kind of a preacher are you?" I'm going to tell you, a preacher that's going to give you the truth. Look at Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. For those of you that are tuning in a little late, welcome to the webcast. We're talking about the devil and how he can be defeated in our lives. I know that sounds like an improbable situation, but I want you to read this Psalms 139, 7 through 12. It's one of the greatest groups of scriptures that's ever been penned. It's a Psalm of David, and it talks about God's omnipresence and omniscience, which the devil doesn't have. The devil doesn't have omnipresence and omniscience. Oh, he doesn't know everything. He's not everywhere at the same time. He's limited in time and space. He's a little bit more free than we are, but he's not like God. It says, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. This is talking about God. And this is the God that we serve, and so we ought not be fearful about any of the embattlements that the enemy may bring our way. And remember, he's dedicated to bring this mess our way. We ought not become afraid. I'm serious with you tonight because, you know, there's some Christians sitting out there thinking that everything's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. I'm not going to, you know, I got to bring you the same kind of message that Jeremiah the prophet brought to people. Matter of fact, since I said that, why don't you go to Jeremiah chapter 23 and get ready to start reading at verse 23 with me. I'm not going to, you know, just give you this, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right story. Uh-uh. I don't have a feeling. I have knowledge. I know that it's all going to be destroyed because God hates sin. Jeremiah 23:23-24. Verse 24. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places, so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not feel the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? See that? Satan is not everywhere. Only God is. And there's some people that even teach in some weird forms of Christianity that God, I'm sorry, that Satan is like that. Especially my charismatic preachers or my uneducated Baptist brethren who I guess are trying to help people, but in their attempt to help people, they are misguiding people. What else about Satan? He has been judged by God already through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, he's already been decimated. We're just waiting on time to catch up. For those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Ram Radio Live, the webcast right here on truthradio.com. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, broadcasting live to many of my friends all over the nation and the world. And I'm so glad that you could join Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio tonight. It's good. Kind of low-key because, you know, just want to share the scriptures with you.